us wrong. Let's destroy everyone. The world is very mean. Let's destroy everything.
I don't get what you mean. The world is nice and green. The sky is super blue. What the world do to you?
Thank you, James Kolchalka, for that never-ending song. Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. This is Inkstead, CITR 101.9. I think that song's name was Stormy Weather, but I don't know. There's something weird with this disc.
He's a cartoonist, so we play him.
Yeah. You'll probably be hearing some action suits later. I totally forgot to prep and bring music.
Uh-oh.
CITR 101.9 FM, this is the Ink Studs. I'm joined by my good friend Colin of the Upton Clan.
Hello.
Uptown Upton, as I like to call him.
Well, yes, they did name that part of town after me.
As he keeps trying to tell me, but I don't believe him. So, normally we do interviews in this show, and I'll admit it, I have no excuse. I've been lazy. I didn't get anything for this week. I've got some interviews lined up over the next while. Sometime I got to set up something with Mr. Jaime Hernandez. Jaime,
as far as I know.
Jaime Hernandez. We're both big fans of his stuff. He is published for Fantagraphics under the book Love and Rockets for the last 25 years. Great stuff. So this weekend is Word Under the Street, part of the Word on the Street Festival at the library. And Colin and I both felt it was important to kind of give props to it. It's a chance for people to check out comics in a otherwise not comic area. It's comics being part of the literary community, kind of shoveled under in the basement of the library. But it's a literary festival, and there is a comics contingent, or as I guess they like to call it, small press. But, you know, that's how it goes.
Well, see, years ago, I was actually talking to somebody about doing a comics component to Word on the Street, but as soon as she found out the sort of things that people like myself or Robin Bougie publish, she decided this was not part of the family-friendly atmosphere they were trying to promote for Word on the Street.
I think that's more Robin Bougie than you, Colin.
Yeah.
The Cinema Sower magazine.
But a couple of years after that, somebody at the Word on the Street came up with the idea of putting all the naughty alternative cartoonists and poets and zinesters in their own room downstairs with a sign on the door saying, "Children, beware, enter at your own risk," which allows us to be part of the Word Under the Street, but just sort of tucked away. You have to look for us. I must emphasize this. You must come and search for us.
Not as in you have to, as in if you're going to do anything this weekend, you have to go to Wonder on the Street on Sunday.
Yes.
With special guest signing from 3 till 4:15, odd time slot. Joe Sacco, creator of Palestine, Safe Area Garage Day.
The Fixer.
Day. The Fixer, War's End, which Colin brought in, Notes of a Defeatist, and But I Like It, his latest book, and I totally forgot to bring in my copy, which comes with a CD, so I dragged out of the vault of CITR, The Miracle Workers, with the worst album cover ever. It's like...
I think it's supposed to be a tribute to, like, old garage band.
No, it just looks like a poorly done family portrait.
It does. It's very trashy. So let's... Joe Sacco's book... All his books are excellent. Very political, not in the preachy way, but in the analytical way, academic.
Journalistic.
Journalistic. It's beautiful stuff. He is definitely one of the Ink Stud's all-time favorites. And part of all-time favorites is... It's September. It's convention season, quote-unquote, has passed. For those of you who don't know, the Comics World convention season is when all the publishers put out new books, yada, yada, yada. Lots of good new stuff. And so Colin and I decided, hey, there's lots of good new books out that we haven't talked about. So we're going to talk about some good new books. Now, first on my list is Kevin Huizenga's Or Else series. Kevin Huizenga, previously seen in, his series Or Else, which is up to 4 issues so far. He's also in the 5th Kramer's Ergot anthology with a great, long, gorgeous story. Art in the kind of flavor of Hergé. Really neat, introspective, very unique storytelling style. Also in the Ignatz book, Ganges. Did you read Ganges?
I have Ganges, yes.
And what do you think of Kevin Huizenga?
Well, I like his stuff, although I'm not sure... You rate his stuff better than other autobiographical cartoonists? Is there a quality that you find in there?
I don't necessarily see it. I guess it's pseudo-autobiographical.
It certainly reads like that.
It reads like that, but I think, it reads more... I think he's puts a lot of research into his books. I think part of the thing is his unique storytelling style. Like, you don't notice it in Ganges, but in the Or Else series, he really does some neat stuff by... kind of taking different camera angles in the story, slowing things down, and really putting, like, a lot of, like, what is the thought that's going into that situation. Not for, like, autobio, it's mainly one person's point of view, or else it's other points of view are thrown in there. Not too much. Mainly it's the main character, Glenn Ganges. Ganges? Ganges?
I'm assuming it's pronounced Ganges.
Like
the river.
Like that creek in India.
Sacred River?
Sacred! Nothing sacred to the Ink Studs. Nothing except Robert Crumb.
Yeah, okay.
No. Not even Robert Crumb. Sacred. No. So I really recommend checking out Or Else. It's a hard time. You'll probably have a hard time tracking down issues of it. I know Lucky's has some.
It's also small.
Three of them are small. They're all roughly, they're like, I don't know, like 4 inches by 3 inches. Maybe I'm way off there. But the first issue is a little smaller than regular comic size. Now, I only mean small by height. The thickness is thicker than a regular comic. Lucky's has some of his stuff. RX has the latest Or Else. But coming out within the next couple of weeks will be Curses, which will collect all the stuff from Or Else. And the Ganges, Ignatz book. And the story from Kramer's Ergot, and the story he did from the first Drawing Quarterly Showcase book.
Wow, won't those be in radically different formats?
That's the interesting thing. I'm looking forward to seeing how they do that, because the Ignatz book is about a magazine size, the Ganges book, and the Or Else books are about a quarter of that size in page height. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. He is an up-and-comer. I think he hasn't quite hit his stride as far as attention it. I think he's hit his stride as far as storytelling capabilities. Like, his books are awesome, and I think everyone should take the chance to check them out. What do you got there, Colin?
Well, I have what should be, you know, it's usually a event in the world of comics, the new Scott McCloud book, Making Comics, which is...
Scott McCloud. Ink Studs are fans.
Ink Studs, yeah. Everybody should know that Scott McCloud is famous for putting out books, Understanding Comics, Reinventing Comics, which examine comic books and what they are, the language of comics, trying to set up a sort of philosophical language for to talk about comics. And in this book, in this new book, Making Comics, it's a how-to guide. So really, it covers, I think, some of the same territory as Understanding Comics, but in a more practical way, a less theoretical. I think it would be really valuable, actually, to read Understanding Comics with Making Comics. And it's also designed, I think, well, as a textbook for people, for classes, for people who want to learn how to make comics. And for anybody who's out there with aspirations to being a cartoonist, I think even people who've been doing comics as long as I have can pick up Making Comics and find some valuable insights and ideas, things that you might not think about on how to approach comic writing and art.
Now, one issue I have with Understanding Comics is that it is very dated. It's Understanding Comics up until 1991. Now, yes. Does this kind of like step back or kind of bring in the new style? Because really, people like Chris Ware have changed comics, the way comics are written. And does he approach some of that stuff, the newer,
well, I've only managed
stuff?
To read the first 100 pages or so, and it's very general. Understanding Comics took a lot of examples from comics at the time. This does as well, but less so. So I think it's actually the approach is more timeless. And the problem is that, I mean, with such an open-ended medium, it's hard to put down many hard and fast rules. And Scott McCloud points this out. His approach to, or it's not how to draw comics, because there are so many ways to draw comics, but it's how comics are seen and understood, and what are the best ways to do it. I think it's one of those things where you can learn the basics and then you can move away from it.
So Colin Upton says, buy Making Comics.
Well, if you want to be a cartoonist, I think you'd make, you could buy Draw Comics the Marvel way if that's still in print.
Boo. Now, on a side note, he is currently touring to support this book, the whole McCloud family.
Ah.
All across the States, and they're going to be coming up to Vancouver in April.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. So contact Scott McCloud, Colin.
Oh, sure.
We'll be getting don't worry, we'll be doing an interview with them. No problem. Like, we're fans of McCloud. I think it's interesting to see because Reinventing Comics had a lot of stuff about how the internet will play a role, and everyone's like, heathen. And really, webcomics are huge. More people read webcomics than they read print comics, I think.
Well, at this point, in Making Comics, the first 100 pages I've read, it's not reinventing comics. It's not all about the computers. It's all about the universal laws of comics, so the laws of comics that apply to print and internet.
I think it's interesting that Scott's really going, like, super academic. I think it's good. The academic world's embracing Scott McCloud's stuff, and, you know, slowly we'll see.
Well, more. I've always thought that was a bit of a double-edged sword, because even though cartoonists for years have yearned for academic recognition, then you wind up with books like Tintin and the Secret of Literature, which I'm not sure we'll get into right now, but I'll only say this. There is a special place in hell for French literary theorists.
Hear that, French literary theorist? You're going to hell, so says Colin Upton. Okay, Eddie Campbell, The Fate of the Artist. Do you read this, Colin?
I have that on my to-read list. I am a huge fan of Eddie Campbell.
Can we just get a in-house boo to Colin for not reading it yet?
Hi!
Hey!
Who's going to go boo?
Boo.
Oh, okay.
Fate of the Artist, it's Eddie Campbell's latest work, kind of taking the Alex series to the next level. I don't know, it reads differently. I don't know if I like it as much as the other stuff, but he really does something new with it and really experiments some photo manipulation stuff, but it's in, he's got stuff in color in there, and his color work is gorgeous.
He's done some homages to, like, what, 1920s comic newspaper strips?
No, he's Eddie Campbell. The guy can't do wrong. It's it's not a quick read, Fade the Arts. It looks like it's a quick read. It's not. You know, you're going to sit down with it for a while, and it's really... It's a chance to kind of go into the head of the artist and kind of see, like, the maddening of trying to put together something that, you know, so it's not really personal and process.
It seems a little more surreal than autobiographical at times.
Yeah. I think that's the point. It's a surreal autobiography. Blech.
Well, now I got to rush home and read it.
You do. We'll return when Colin gets home from reading Fate of the Artist. Okay, Colin's out of the room now. Let's say mean stuff about him. Boo to Colin. Oh, hi, Colin.
Hi.
Another person I've really been liking lately, part of the same crew, puts together the Kramer's Ergot anthology, is Sammy Harkham. Mm. You don't know Sammy Harkham's work? Oh, he's great. Kind of a meld between Chester Brown and Jordan Crane, only more full-bodied.
I can certainly see the Chester Brown.
Yeah, but his storytelling is great. He doesn't have a lot of stuff out. He has stuff in Crickets. He has stuff in the third Drawing Quarterly Showcase. And he is the curator of the Kramer's Ergot anthology, so I think every anthology has stuff by him in it. And if you haven't checked out the Kramer's Ergot anthology, definitely do check it out. I forgot to bring my copy down. But it's really, like, it's a neat collection of different types of comics works. There's, like, range from Sammy Harkham stuff to Kevin Huizenga's. Anders Nilsson has stuff in there. Local guy Mark Bell has stuff in there. It's really a range of storytelling. Chris Ware has a really gorgeous story in book 5. I will never stop talking about how much I love Chris Ware's work. If you get sick of it, change the station. I think I'm going to play a song now. Let's see. I'm going to try playing The Miracle Workers Inside Out. Let's see if that works.
Cool.
And
so Joe Sacco never actually played with them. He was their touring cartoonist.
Pretty much. Let's see if this works. Okay, that's not working. I think I'm just going to play...
Do you want me to get someone?
No, I'm just going to play some more James Kolchalka. Sorry about that, folks. Dead air.
I'll grow an army of carrot men to march across the land. I'll grow an army.
CITR 101.9 FM. That was a growing army of what was it?
Growing army of carrot men, I think it was.
Weird. James Kolchalka, you were an odd man. Now, one book we both have in our stacks is Alison Bechtel's. Did I pronounce it right? Bechtel.
I have no idea.
Fun Home. A family tragicomic. It is brilliant. I have to say, it is one of the strongest books I've read in a long time. Now, of course, Colin is happy because it is autobio. Colin loves his autobio comics.
That's not the only comics I read or write. But
just 90% of them are. I'm just bugging Colin. No, Alison Bechdel, previously known for... Dykes to Watch Out For. Oh, I didn't have your mic turned on. That was my problem. There we go.
See, no, what? Hear me, people. Alison Bechdel of Dykes to Watch Out For, which was running... Is it still running in one of the local gay papers? I can't remember.
I don't think it is because she worked on this book.
Ah.
So, and it's very... It has the strongest dialogue, strongest use of literature I've seen in a comic in a long, long, long time.
I found it quite startling, personally. The story.
Now, that's interesting. Why were you so startled and shocked and kind of, I don't know, saddened?
Well, it's basically, Allison deals with the story of her relationship with her father. And her family comes from a very cerebral, very intellectual background. Both her father and her mother were like that. And she deals with some very personal things that could scar you for life in this book. The death, perhaps suicide of her father, other details I'm not sure we want to get into. But it is handled in such a cold and distant way, I find, that I just found it remarkable that she was able to deal with these very personal things in such a almost abstract way.
I wouldn't call it abstract.
No. Distant?
It's not distant. It is a very personal book. She really ties in a lot of her own, like, her own coming out tied with her father's own sexuality experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting paradigm between the two. Paradox, I should say. Not paradigm, paradox.
Yes.
Yes. It's interesting. It comes out from Houghton Mifflin, who normally do textbooks. They're a book publisher, but their majority of their work is textbooks. So I kind of think that gives a nod to the academic strength of this work.
Well, the book is just infused with literature. The references to Greek legend, to James Joyce, I can't remember off the top of my head, other writers, Gatsby, Great Gatsby, appear in this book. People are always reading fine literature, poetry.
Yes, people that read comics read books. You heard it here first. No, it's kind of a journey through obsession too. Her own father's obsession with the house that she grew up in, fine tuning what was the era of the house? Colonial.
Oh,
we can't remember.
Gothic Revival.
There we go. Gothic Revival house in where
page
was it?
Page 8, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. And it's really neat seeing the obsession, and kind of following obsession, because something that is really big in comics, it's a lot of people that do comics, obsession is a big part of it, but it was an outside look at obsession.
Mm-hmm.
Where with work like Seth or Chris Ware, they have their own obsessions, but it reads differently. It's you're kind of seeing stuff through that mindset, but this is kind of looking outside in obsession.
Yeah, and it's interesting also because, of course, as any child, the family you grew up in is the family you think is normal. And in the book, as a child, Allison was looking at the Addams family, and it looked just like her house. So she thought the Addams family cartoons were normal people.
God bless. Now I wish I had the soundtrack to play.
This is one of the best graphic novels to come out in a good long time. I'd highly recommend it.
And actually, on the top, Al quoted Harvey Pekar, Alison Bechdel, she's one of the best one to watch out for, which goes back to the Dykes to Watch Out For book. And I actually picked up, found one of the Dykes to Watch Out For books at a book emporium in their cheap basement and picked that up. I figured out what the hell, check it out.
And, I should also mention that Funhouse is what the family used to call the funeral home that her father ran as a side business. Otherwise, he was an English teacher. So, yeah, it's a pretty interesting life.
I'm going to play a song now. I'm going to play Fun Flies by the Action Suits to go along with the Fun Home theme. Action Suits, Eric Reynolds, Pete Bagg, another guy who I don't know. The album just came up from Press Pop Publications. I don't know where you can buy it, but check out the MP3s at PeteBagg.com or PeterBagg.com. Fun Flies. Oh, just playing. There we go. Okay, Inkstead CITR 101.9. We're talking about Nuke. I was just during the break telling Colin a little, I was doing a little research on Alison Bechtel online, and she did an interview for the Comics Journal. Trina Robbins interviewed her, and she talked about some of her influences, and one was Robert Crumb. And Trina Robbins just freaks right in the interview, like, how could you like his stuff? He's such a misogynistic pig, racist, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, good on you, Alison. She basically just said he's doing what he thinks. He's just doing his inner demons on paper. Why should you hate someone for what's popping into their head? He's not going out and beating on women, you know. This is some inner thoughts. Everyone's got them.
Well, Trina Robbins is pretty famous for not liking Robert Crumb, certainly.
Yeah, we like Robert Crumb. Not a big fan of Trina Robbins. No.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
I said I'm not a fan of Trina Robbins.
Well, she's done some good work, I think.
Yeah, but not high on my list of stuff I'm purchasing. Ink studs. We don't like everything, but we like a lot of stuff.
Cast invaluable scholarship in women in comics.
There we go.
Yes. Next.
Comic Book Holocaust by Johnny Ryan.
Oh, you're kidding. Not Johnny Ryan,
yes,
of Angry
Johnny Ryan,
Youth Comics?
Angry Youth Comics. He did
what is the appeal of this man? He's so hateful and rude.
Yeah, I know. It's fucking brilliant.
So what is Comic Holocaust?
Comic Holocaust is his collection of mini comics he did where he mocks everything from Peanuts to Spider-Man to Hagar the Horrible to Mutts and Jeff, Iron Man, Peep Bags, Taint, as he likes to call it in here.
How many parodies has he done?
Here, I'm going to read you every autobio comic ever written.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, everyone, look at me. I'm masturbating. Blah, blah, blah. Aren't I great? Blah, blah, blah. Now I'm sticking a dildo on my ass. Boy, I'm really up in the ante. Aren't I so brave for revealing this humiliating personal information about myself? Here's a list of all the people I've fucked in my whole life. Blah, blah, blah. Isn't that interesting? Boy, I sure am ugly and disgusting. Am I ugly and disgusting? I mean, beautiful and amazing. Want to hear one of my fascinating dreams? Terrific. Blah, blah, blah. Snakes. Blah, blah, blah. Teeth. Blah, blah, blah. Haircut. Blah, blah, daddy. Blah, blah. Aren't my dreams fantastic? I'm a darn genius. Now comes the portion of the comic where I talk a whole bunch of mama jumbo about art and life to show how smart and sensitive I am. Bullshit, bullshit art. Bullshit, bullshit life. Bullshit, bullshit comics. Bullshit, bullshit daddy. Bullshit, bullshit. For autobio comics written by females, simply change the word masturbating to menstruating.
I think lovely.
That's the best part of the thing. It's hilarious. I love Johnny Ryan's stuff. He's just so, you know, everything is a poop joke, but that's okay. I mean, no one is safe in this book. He makes fun of Rusty Brown. He makes fun of Mouse by Art Spiegelman.
Tintin?
Oh, I didn't notice a Tintin. Maybe, oh. Maybe. Goodbye, Chunky Nuts Rice Dick by Batman and Batblog. Richie Rich, the poor little rich fuckhead. Oh, there is Tintin, another boring adventure that sucks. Captain Haddock, wake up, you gotta help me. Wake up, you stupid, lazy, useless, drunk shit. Oh, listener discretion be advised.
You know, it's people like Johnny Ryan that saves us from becoming an academic arm of the art world.
Thank you, Johnny Ryan. You know,
he drags us back down into the gutter where we belong.
You know, though, you need to take the piss out of things. You know, there's a... Here, Daredevil in Yes, I'm Blind. Wipe, wipe. I wonder if I'm done wiping. I'll use my super sonar powers to figure it out. Nope, still plenty of shit back there. Nothing is sacred. This is a small print run from Buena Ventura Press, who are putting out some really great stuff. You can pick this up at RX and at Lucky's, for sure. I don't know about other comic stores. They make fun of McSweeney's. Oh, there's a Joe Sacco one in here. Joe Sacco.
Oh, that is so original.
There's a Bluey Real.
I wonder what that's a parody of.
By Chesterd Brown.
How many did he do of these?
Pee Show by Matt Joe. Ghost Herd by Daniel Clowns. Shitso by Criven Boohoo Netty. Dirty Blandry Comics by Shulbert Shitcrumb and Annalene Korninsky Shitcrumb. Rectal Nerve by Gadrian Tominades. A Stupid Child's Life by Phoebe Glecknerd. Lusa Conquers the World by Shito. American Splendouche by Harvey Buttpecker. Love Hell by Alan Hoare and Eddie Cramballs.
Are you going to be doing this for much longer?
Are you getting offended, Colin?
No, I'm...
The Fucktacular Fucky Fuck Brothers. That is the...
Who's that? What was that?
That's the, you know, the pothead guys. I can't remember their names.
The pothead guys. Oh, the fabulous Furry Freak Brothers.
Yeah, there we go. Wah, wah, wah. Check it out. It's awesome. I howled. I laughed. This is Johnny Ryan's best work, I think. I like Angry Youth, but Comic Book Holocaust, nothing is sacred.
It's like, got to be over 100 pages of this stuff.
Isn't it great? Colin is going to go and cry now. He thinks this is the end of the comics world.
No, but I'm sure Johnny Ryan wishes it was.
Another quick one, Fantagraphics. I'm not going to say too much about it. Beasts and Priests by Jim Blanchard. All it is him drawing pictures of people, him doing his thing on pictures, and they're great. Really nice pop art. You can see a little Andy Warhol influence, but... It's just his attention to detail is great. There's like he adds a certain level of madness to things. Basically, like, you know, famous people done Jim Blanchard style.
He's a very accomplished artist. I just remember him as being a very angry guy.
Yeah, if you want to hear more about Jim Blanchard, listen to our interview we did with Peter Bagg in our podcast, www.crowncommission.com/inkstuds. Also starting up soon is we'll have podcasts available for download directly from CITR, www.citr.ca. If you have any questions or comics you've read that you've loved, give us a call at 604-822-2487. Colin is now expressing himself with fingers and tapping his head. Kind of like when you have like a little brother and you tap on their head and tell them the name Chet and chocolate bars.
I'm just trying to remember the name of the other point list in comics.
Pointillist.
Jim Blanchard's work, a lot of it reminds me of...
Joe Coleman?
No. I can't remember his name.
Drew Friedman. Who has a new book coming out called Old Jewish Comedians, I think it is. It looks awesome. Every preview page I've seen from it is excellent. And that'll be out for Fantagraphics. Beast and Priest is out for Fantagraphics. They love Jim Blanchard stuff there. He used to work there. Now he just lives in Bellingham, putting out Chucker Fags in Denial and other good stuff like that.
Which another comic I didn't quite understand.
Oh, it's awesome.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
What do you got there?
Colin is scarred.
I am.
I got Drunken Quarterly Showcase number 4. Gabriel Bell, who is one of my current faves that I'm reading right now. All her stuff in Mome has been excellent. I've been re-going through her old book. She's got a great story in there. A big theme in her, most of her stuff is autobio. I don't think this one's autobio, but it's her theme is just art and artists and process and creation and just a lot of really personal stories. Really, she's really coming to her own as every time I see her work, it's got a new development, a new style to it. The story in this is in color, which is a nice change for me because I'll be honest, I like comics in color more than I like them in black and white.
Well, I think if I remember right, I've seen her work before and I think it benefits from color by giving it more dimension, more depth.
Yes. Her stuff is great. There's a story in there by Martin Sindera. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Should be right. I don't know why you keep asking me.
I don't know. You think Colin would know something about comics.
But Sindretta.
His stuff is really good. It's just a fun story. And I don't think I think the last story might be, who is the last one? Dan Zetwatch, who I haven't really read any other stuff by him. It's a neat story. I don't know. Not my favorite part of the book. I'm more into the Gabriel Bell story. And the Sindretta story is awesome. Check out their work. Gabriel Bell's new book should be coming out from... who is it coming out from? Drawn and Quarterly soon.
And
that'll be awesome.
It's a Drawn and Quarterly book, so you know you can't go far wrong.
Yeah, really, if you want to know good stuff to buy, check out the publishers Drawn and Quarterly, Fantagraphics, Bonaventura Press is really jumping up on the stage and putting out some great stuff. Ad House Books has been doing some great stuff, kind of under the radar. They released the James Jean Process Recess book and recently did an interview with James Jean with Sean Cranberry, who will be interviewing Joe Sacco on stage at Word Under the Street for about 15-20 minutes before Joe goes and signs your books. Go meet Joe. Go get your book signed. Also, if you're interested in going, there is at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday, Joe Sacco is doing a reading from his book, But I Like It, at CBC. If you want tickets, CBC.com, something Vancouver. I don't know. You can email me, though, and I might be able to hook you up with free tickets. DirtyBirdMusic@telus.net is my personal email address. Actually, it's not really personal because it's for the radio show, really, and other stuff. If you want to get free tickets, email me there. But don't email me and just send me spam. I will hate you forever. And Joe Sacco's new collection for Drawn and Quarterly, Colin's pulling it up. Tell us about it, Colin.
Well, I have here is War's End, Profiles from Bosnia, 1995 to 1996. And it's a collection of, I guess it would be hard to find stories about his travels, Joe Sacco's travels and reporting from Bosnia. The most of it is the book Soba, which I believe was published by Drawn and Quarterly, I don't know how long ago, but it profiles a guy who was basically sort of a semi-criminal before the start of the Bosnian War, who becomes something of a hero in the fighting. And it's not only Soba's story, it's the story of the siege, and it's also Joe Sacco's story as he goes to Sarajevo to report on the... he wasn't actually there during the fighting, I don't think, but just afterwards.
Yeah, right at the end.
Yeah. But you get... anything that Joe Sacco does, to me, is amazing. The art, story, this...
His rendering, it's just so gorgeous. He really... Tight pages. Joe Sacco cannot go wrong. His latest book, but I like his collection of older stuff... it's different than his newer stuff. He also has a story in the latest World War III Illustrated as an embedded reporter in Iraq, which was originally published by The Guardian, which is a reputable newspaper in England.
Oh, I subscribed to it.
And Colin didn't even know.
Well, I have the weekly. The book also has Christmas with Karadzic, which is... basically the story of Joe and a group of other journalists trying to track down Radovan Karadzic, the leader of the Bosnian Serbs, to interview him at Christmas time. And it's a hard-to-find story. It was published, I think, in 00.
Yes, and from Fantagraphics.
A Fantagraphics anthology, but it's kind of difficult to find. So, I would recommend it. The thing about Joe's stories is that some of them are personal and some of them are political. Like, Safe Area Garage Day is basically telling the story about Garage Day. But after that, he put out a book called The Fixer. Now, a fixer is some guy, a local that you hire, who will enable you to get interviews to help you through the area you're in, work as a translator. So The Fixer is more of a story about how to be a journalist, what it was like being a journalist and trying to get the story. So, yeah, I really enjoy the fact that he goes from the personal to the political in different books.
It's excellent, excellent stuff. I will always be a fan of Joe Sacco. As a poli-sci student, I'm especially excited that this is kind of a bridge for me between academia and comics, because most comics, the stuff that does get political, it's like, okay, we know George Bush is evil, yada, yada, yada. It's the same thing, but this goes into other stuff, where, especially the Middle East, it's so fascinating of what a mess it is.
Well, Joe Sacco's also trained as a journalist, so his approach tends to be more as a reporter to try and be
more removed.
Dispassionate about it, even though it's clearly, you can see through the books, it's sometimes difficult. But I don't think there's anybody in the world out there doing the sort of work that Joe Sacco is doing. He's no. Unique.
One man band. Okay, I'm going to play another Action Suit song, and then we're going to finish up with some other Yakety Yaks. This is My Janine from the Action Suits.
Thank you. much sleazier than I seem.
Yowza.
I sent an email to Mark Bell hoping he could come in and talk about his new book, Nag Adad. And he said, well, hey, why don't we do a thing where you ask me questions and I'll email you a response and you and Colin can pretend to do the interview. And nah,
what?
Do that. Yeah, he's a crazy man. But
okay.
He's on tour on the East Coast. On the 24th, he will be in Toronto at the Gladstone from 7 till midnight. On the 30th, he's going to be in New York, New York. At the Giant Robot. I wonder what that is. I'm going to check that out. I'm going to New York.
Yes, so you keep reminding us.
And I'm going to be at SPX, which I'm very excited about. If anyone's listening, going to be at SPX, come and chat with me. I'll be wandering around. Hopefully we'll have an Inkstuds comic giveaway for it. Produced by Mr. Collins doing something, Mr. Don King, and one of my favorite local homies, Mike Meyer, is going to do something.
Robin Bougie?
Yeah, Robin Bougie will probably take a turd on it or something. God bless the Bouge. And he will be one of the featured artists at Word Under the Street, including...
Yeah.
So we'll see. Robin Bougie will be there. Colin Upton will be there.
Don King.
Donald King. Robin Thompson, probably. Robin Constabaris will be there.
The Radar Friends.
Ink Muffins thing, wherever it is. The Radar Friends going to be there?
I believe so.
Were you at the Comic Jam?
I wasn't at the Comic Jam.
I don't think they were either, actually. So, oh, well.
No, I missed the monthly Comics Jam because I was so busy completing my 9th mini-comic, my 9th new release.
New release.
Word Under the Street.
Yeah. Don't be shocked when Colin said 9th mini-comic. He doesn't mean ever because he probably has about 200 mini-comics.
No, actually, I counted them up. I think I have just about over 100.
God damn. I'm sitting in a room with a creative guy. Me, I don't do diddly.
But you must. Everyone must come down to Word Under the Street. It'll be a lot of fun.
At the main library downtown.
Underneath
Sunday.
The main library.
Underneath from 10 till 4, 10 till 5.
11 till 5, I think it is.
11 till 5, okay. I'll be popping by. I'm going to go to the reading by Joe Sacco.
Lucky bastard.
Yeah, well, I am Robin of the Inkstuds. And I hope to see some other people there. I got a couple more books to talk about that I've been enjoying. I picked up Sequential by Paul Hornesheimer. Now, Paul is part of the Holy Consumption Collective with Anders Nilsson, Jeffrey Brown, and I forget the name of the other person that's involved, but he's not as prolific as the other boys. Paul Hornesheimer is really great stuff. He does the Life with Mr. Dangerous strip in the MoMA anthology for Fantagraphics. Sequential's out from Ad House Books. Is a collection of all his early mini comics, so it's neat to see his development as a storyteller and artist. But you know, it's great through it all. He has a new book coming out probably in January from Fantagraphics, which is a collection of his stuff from Forlorn Funnies, which I haven't read because I can't track him down. I got into him too late, But his stuff is great. Sequential is probably a year or two old as far as a release, but it's a nice little package. You can see some influences from Beto Hernandez. I'm pretty sure there's some influence there. And yeah, it's great. I really like it, and you should too.
Right. Nice variety. I'm just flipping through it. That was the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah, it's a nice hardcover book. Hear that? It's a nice book. You have one last book in your stack there, I see, Colin.
Oh, I just wanted to mention that the second Ignatz volume by the Italian cartoonist, who we believe is pronounced Jippy?
Yippy.
No, G-I-P-I.
Yippee.
Yippee, yeah.
What's the name of the book?
They Found the Car, which is a sequel to The Innocents, apparently, although none of the characters reappear, but I understand these are connected in the future. But once again, it's an example of that rare commodity, European comics that actually pay attention to the writing. It's a well-written book. The story is not... it's not overly... It's elaborate, but it has great characterization, some really solid writing, some nice art, and it's a really solid book. And I'm looking forward to seeing more from Jippy, or Gippy.
Yippy!
To see how it all adds up. But...
I'm really enjoying the Ignatz series. They're all really gorgeous books.
Are they all translations from the Italian?
No. Well, Kevin Huizenga's. And also
Beto. Because I know Matati's been published.
Beto's going to be coming out. David B. is French.
Yes.
And okay. His stuff has come out. I think it's just a collection of a kind of just certain size. Originally, Crickets, I think, was supposed to be part of that series that... book I was talking about earlier, the Sammy Harkin book, but I'm not too sure. Don't quote me on that. Maybe I'm just talking out of my ass. Any other comic stuff coming up?
Well, of course, we can mention once again, Main Library downtown, 11 on Sunday, Word on the Street. October 24th, I believe it is going to be Canzine West.
There we go. That's what I was forgetting about.
That's happening at the Welsh Hall, which is just on 18th, just to the east of Main Street, I believe. That's another free event. I went to the very first Canzine West last year. That was at the Western Front. And I don't know how they did it, but it was an amazing turnout. Lots and lots of people, just not enough room for them all.
I just found the listing word in the street of the careers that will be there. We have 13 Flames, the Empire Domain of Champions of Hell.
Oh, good lord.
Zombie Jesus and Absolute Underground, plus Hemp Island and Hab Man Comics. That's Ira Hunter and Robin Thompson, both friends of mine. I like them. Barking Griffin Press, Ken Bosom. I don't know Ken's stuff, but he's at all the stuff, so I should check it out. Cinema Sewer, God Bless Bougie.
Mm.
I love my favorite story from last year is someone went to go see Cinema Sewer. Some old ladies.
They wanted to buy copies of Cinema Sewer. Yeah.
So they were sadly disappointed. Or maybe they weren't disappointed.
Well, they didn't buy any.
That's too bad. Colin Upton Comics.
Yay!
Yeah, he'll be there. Critical Hit Comics.
Oh,
Donald King. Doom. I don't
Doom?
Know. Eve Corbell. True Funnies. Fresh Brood Illustration. That's Ho Jue, who's in the Georgia Strait.
Oh.
Fun Man Press, New Reliable Press. That's Ed Brisson's stuff. That's good stuff. Girl Zine, Pero Verlag, Ralph.
Good old Ralph.
Robo Inc., which is Robin K., our good friend. She'll be there. Sarah Levitt. Sophia Books will be there. Steve Rolston. Leonard Wong. And... yeah, that looks to be the full... There's no Raider friends. I'm going to have to ask what the hell their problem is.
Well, it's good. Be good to see Josue. I don't remember him coming out to these before.
We'll see.
Yes.
We'll see.
And Joe Sacco.
And Joe Sacco. A couple of quick things I'm going to mention. In the studio, Visits with Contemporary Artists came up for Yale Press. I was like, And then I looked at it and like, oh my God, this is awesome. It's interviews with Daniel Klaus, Ivan Brunetti, Seth, Robert Crumb, Gary Panter, Art Spiegelman, Jaime Hernandez, Jaime Hernandez, I should say, Chris Ware, and I think that's it. But
it's on the spine.
Yeah, no, that I think it's just the guy drawing himself. interviews by Todd Hignite. He did these interviews originally for the Comics Art Magazine, which have all gone out of print. The ones that had these interviews, and these are expanded interviews, including gorgeous new artwork, stories in there by Chris Ware that you won't find elsewhere yet.
And photographs of the artist's workspace?
Not so much.
Not so much?
Just their influences. More about their influences. Oh. So I'm going to finish off with one last Action Suit song. Which song do I want to play? I was going to play 4-Track Mind. Ink Studs. Next week, all upcoming guests will include, I think, Roberta Gregory, maybe. Mm-hmm. Denny Eichhorn, Jaime Hernandez, and perhaps more. Ink Studs, CXL 101.9.
What's up, party people? You're listening to Crimes and Treasons every single Thursday, 3 to 5 p.m.